a lot. Some people could stand up and clap. Some are 2 weeks after the fasting. We understand. We understand. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated one moment. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor anything you like this Sunday morning. Anything you like. Hallelujah. When I say anything you like, I expect you to say something that will make your neighbor to be happy. You know, something that will make your neighbor to be happy. You can just tell your neighbor, look at the person very well. And if it's from his appearance, you can know the kind of prophecy to give. If it's looking very gloomy, the frown face, you can tell the person, hey, sister, there is hope. There is hope. You know, don't look hopeless. There is hope. Amen. And if the person looks as if the fasting has drained him or her up, tell the person fasting doesn't kill anybody. Just say, push on, push on. Don't worry. It will soon end. Just say it will soon end. And if you think the person is suffering from there's no money, you can tell the person, how much do you need? Let me give you. You know, the person will be very happy. So tell your neighbor something now. Just tell your neighbor something. You don't tell him. I don't want you to stand up yet. But I want you to sing in 229, sitting down. I want you to sit down singing that song. Today's service is supposed to be full of fire. Because everybody is supposed to be on fire now. Yes, now. I don't know. How many of us know that song? If you know it, please. If you don't know it, then learn it. 229, that man of Calvary. He has won my heart. Amen. I don't know how many people love Jesus more than anything else. I am one of them. That song says, fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride. Fullness divine in thee I see. Wonderful man. Oh yes. You know, you love him. You love him. Can we take it? Can we take it now? Then I say we Sabi and pass the musician self. Okay. Maybe the musician will have to teach them. Do we teach you or you will teach us? Let's go, everybody, now.
Fairest of all the earth is
chiefest of all,
chiefest of all,
unto the bride,
unto the goodness divine in thee I see.
Wonderful man,
wonderful man, of heaven.
Has won my heart.
Has won my
Yes, sir.
And I
die to set thee free.
Oh, bless me.
Oh, bless man of Calvary. Granting the sin and life.
Granting the captive.
Granting the captive.
Shedding his blood.
Shedding his blood.
Yes, sir.
To me, merciful man.
Oh, the man of Calvary.
Has won my son.
Has won my heart for me.
Yes, sir.
And he died.
And died to set me free.
Oh, bless man.
Oh, bless man of Calvary. Giving the gifts of favor,
pouring out love,
pouring out love
beyond
the beyond again,
giving us spotless purity,
giving us spotless purity,
beautiful man,
bountiful man
of
Calvary. Oh yes, the man of Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And die to set me free.
Bless
my recovery.
Yes, sir.
Comfort all my
earthly. Jesus, help me.
Jesus, help
me. This song sweet.
This song sweet.
Enter glory.
Glory be our
wonderful man,
wonderful man of Calvary.
Oh, the man
of Calvary.
He's won my promise,
has won my heart.
Oh, he died
and died to set me free.
One more time.
Oh, that man of Calvary has won my heart for me.
Yes, sir.
And he died.
And died to set me free.
Oh, bless me.
That man
of Calvary.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why I say you should sit down is because I wanted to read something out for you somewhere. Thank you, Brother Supro, for giving me this. I saw it. I read it. I had it. This is over a month ago. That the Roman Catholic Vatican does not believe Jesus is coming back again. It's in the news everywhere. They do not believe that Jesus is coming back. And this is the way they put it. It says, it is reported that Cardinal Giorgio Salvatore Salvador told waterforwhispernews.com that this year's 1981st anniversary is to be the Vatican's last in regards to waiting for the Lord to return to earth. This is what the Cardinal Salvador said. We just feel Jesus is, I'm quoting now, we just feel Jesus is not coming back by the looks of it. It's been ages like this. It's probably flat out doing other really good things for people somewhere else. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised his disciples that he will come again in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3 of the Bible. There are many homes, it's quoting John 14. There are many homes up where my father lives, and I'm going to prepare them for your coming. When everything is ready, then I will come and get you, so that you can always be with me where I am. If this weren't so, I would tell you plainly, unquote. Now continue. The Vatican defended Jesus' broken promise. They are referring to the delay in Jesus Christ coming to be a broken promise. He said the Vatican defended Jesus' broken promise, claiming, quote, he was probably drinking wine, unquote. He was probably drinking wine at the time when he made the comments. Having the ability to turn water into wine had its ups and its downs. We all make promises we can't keep when we are drunk. Jesus was no different. The church said it will now focus attention on rebuilding its reputation around the world, but will keep an optimistic mind for the Savior's second coming. That is the Roman Catholic headquarters, the Vatican. Praise God. I told you something before, and please take note. I said there is no part of this Bible that is written for unbelievers. Everything written in this Bible is for believers. After all, no unbeliever will carry the book to read. So let's see what Peter spoke. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's the Bible. When we say not all Christians are of Christ, you now understand. When we say not every church is the church of Jesus Christ, you now understand. Peter, by the Spirit, has seen the Vatican. We say this today. That's why I love this Bible. If they had known about this scripture, they would not say it. Amen. That's why I say, some people are thinking that one day they will call people in the tribulation and put and stamp and tattoo a mark on your forehead, 666. It will not happen like that. Oh, it will not be like that. Amen. Listen, church. Okay, we'll talk about the Antichrist. There is nothing like that, though. Because the mark, people are already taking it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I read it again? Mark it on your Bible. And I'll be saying what? Verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? He said, for since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Then verse 5 to the Vatican. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water is by what? The word. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Amen. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So when Jesus says he's coming back soon to take us home, our own soon is not God's own soon. As far as we are concerned, he made this promise almost 2,000 years ago, but before God, he made the promise 2 days ago. So he's still coming soon. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason he's waiting is for people like that. Salvadore, Cardinal. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men like the Vatican count slackness, but is long suffering patiently to us what? Not willing that any of them in Vatican should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason. Praise God. And let me tell you something. Listen, church. You have no reason to preach this from this Bible when you don't believe what this Bible is saying. If you don't believe that this scripture is from God, if you don't believe that these are holy scriptures inspired by the Holy Ghost, that they are the words of God, you have no business keeping it or following it. You don't follow some and drop some. We are to conform to the whole sum truth, complete, from the first page to the last page. Whatever is written, we are supposed to believe it. If you don't have the ability to believe it, don't come and mess it up, because you will end up messing up your own faith. You only discover you wasted your time for nothing. We believe it. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming back. He is coming soon. Hallelujah. And he's coming for the resurrection. Hymn number 7. We are thinking of resurrection. Even before then. Even before hymn number 7. Listen, church. The Bible tells us what we should watch out for. While the Vatican is thinking that Jesus must have forgotten, and when you see serpent seeds who have no reverence for God, you can't try that type of derogatory statement for the Muslim prophet to say that Jesus must have been drunk when he made that statement. When we say there are serpent seeds, you can see it now. To say that my Savior was a drunkard. From that statement, you can see, he's saying that a man that has the ability to turn water to wine, you know, that means anytime the man just sit up and have the chuck wine, anytime he like, you know, he goes, that's a chuck wine. May God have mercy on that man. I said, may God have mercy on that man. We have things we are watching out for. God's timepiece, William Branham told us, if you want to know what time of the day we are in now, you look at your clock. But you want to know what time we are in now in God's program for redemption, where do we look? We look at Israel. Hymn number 161. Nations are breaking. Israel is awakening. Can we stand up to sing it? Those of us who believe it's coming, let's sing it. 161. Let's go down. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening,
the
sign that the prophets foretold.
The
Gentile this long, hallows in combat, eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah, the day of redemption. Today she is calling, and altar is born.
Return,
oh, despise to your home. Oh, the day
of redemption.
Mess up the feeling of fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamp shrink and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaken,
and
many are mistaken.
God's
meaning to be of the skies. God's church is the power that's shaking this earth. The day of redemption is near. Hallelujah!
The day of redemption is near.
Oh, yes.
Be filled.
Be filled with the Spirit.
Your lamp.
Your lamp stream and clear. Your redemption is near. Yes, sir. False prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. That Jesus, the Christ, is our God.
Oh, this generation.
This generation.
From God's revelation.
Oh, we walk where the apostles have drawn. The day of redemption is there.
Mess
up the feeling of fear.
Be filled with the Spirit.
Your life is in the
air. Look up.
Look up. Your redemption
is there.
Is it? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. That's what we're doing now. And your lamps trimmed, rams, revelation. Clear revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we say we identify the seat of the Antichrist, is it not becoming clearer and clearer now? It's becoming clearer and clearer now. Where the Antichrist seat will be. In fact, where it is already. Amen. When the Bible in Revelation chapter 17 describes her as the mother of harlots. the abominations of this world. That's the headquarters of abominations. As far as God is concerned. For anybody to be a follower of Jesus Christ and make that type of comment concerning our Lord and Savior, praise God. Then you know who he is. You know who he is. Brethren, he is coming soon. 198. 198. Yes, sir. Let's go now.
In this, the closing days of time.
What joy.
What joy.
The glorious
hope. The glorious hope of God.
The soon.
The soon.
Oh,
a wondrous truth sublime.
He shall reign.
He shall reign. King of kings. And Lord of lords, oh hallelujah, he's coming soon.
He's coming soon. Sweet joy, we welcome his return. It may be morning,
it may be
night, or no. We know,
we know. His coming soon.
The signs
around it heaven
all painted,
all painted on the starry sky.
The faithful witnesses,
the faithful witnesses given.
Now the coming,
now the coming. Of the Savior, it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. We welcome
his joy. It may be morning.
It may be
night or noon.
It may be night or noon.
We know.
We know. He's coming soon. The death in Christ would heal us life.
Incarnate numbers.
Incarnate numbers all shall rise. Yes, sir.
Went through the portals.
Went through the portals of the sky.
He shall come.
He shall come. To prepare a paradise. He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Rejoice. It may be more. It may be night or noon. We know.
We know. It's coming soon.
Yes, sir.
And we who live in yet remain
caught
up shall meet our faithful Lord. This hope we cherish all in vain.
But we come for,
but we come one another by his
wrath.
Is coming soon.
He's coming. We joy. We welcome his return. He
it may be more.
It may be more.
It may be night or noon. We know it's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. With joy, we welcome His return.
Oh yes.
It may be more.
It may be night or noon.
We know He's coming soon.
One more time.
Soon.
Oh, He's coming soon. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Those who don't have hope for rapture, those who don't have hope for rapture, they are those that will speak like that. You can never receive what you are not expecting. We will go because we are expecting Him to come. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 226. I need no argument. It is enough that Jesus died for me. Amen. My faith has found a resting place. Not in device, nor creed. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
My grief is
sea shall heal the sea. The Lord he came to save.
Yes, sir.
For me his precious blood he shed. For me his life he gave.
Hallelujah.
I need no other
argument.
I need no other plea.
Oh, it is enough. Action. Oh, say. Hallelujah. I need no other. Oh,
I need no other plea.
It is enough.
That Jesus died,
oh,
and that he died.
Say one more time.
For me.
Hallelujah.
I need no other argument.
Oh.
I need no other plea.
It is the Lord
that Jesus died.
Hallelujah. Hymn number 289. Jesus is mine. Faith, each earthly joy. Faith, every earthly joy. Let me hold on to Jesus.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is
mine. Everything. Jesus is mine. That is the wilderness and has no resting place.
Amen. Can these musicians arrange themselves so that we can sing? If any of you quarrel with your wife before coming here today, please, let's forget about ourselves. Concentrate on him and worship him.
Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie. Jesus is mine. That is the wilderness. Let us not rest and play. Jesus alone can bless. Jesus is mine.
Let's go.
Jesus is mine. Here would I ever stay? Jesus is mine. Perishing things of day.
For one brief day.
Back from my heart away.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is
welcome
mine.
And turn and see.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is
mine.
Welcome to the sense
of welcome,
sweet sense of welcome, my Savior's
friend. Welcome, my Savior.
Jesus is mine.
Hallelujah. Okay. I intend to say a few things this morning, and I need enough time as we prepare for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Give me some few moments to talk, then we pray. Then we worship God. Then we go home. Because if I extend it before I talk, out of hunger, some people may not hear me. So, while you still have the strength, pick your Bibles. Pick your Bibles. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea is in the Old Testament, chapter 6. I'm even inspired more by this write-up I just read now concerning the Vatican. Okay, one verse, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Remember that Hosea chapter 6 is talking about the restoration of Israel. Verse 3, then in the revival shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's be seated and let's avoid distractions as much as possible. Because what differentiates us from the denomination is the privilege God has given us in this age to know the mysteries, certain mysteries that some people's eyes have been closed to. And one of those mysteries is the mystery of iniquity. And the mystery of iniquity is the mystery of how Satan has taken over the church of Jesus Christ. And he's looked at. Amen. He has taken over completely. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And people are sitting down and worshiping Satan, and many of them they are following Satan and thinking that they are following Jesus. There are people carrying Bible and following Satan in the name of Jesus. It's a mystery. But when God himself comes down and selects certain people, give them the kind of privilege he has given us, then we have every reason to worship him and serve him. That is my joy. Amen. The topic I'm looking at today, I titled it Understanding the End Time Anointing. I want us to understand the end time anointing. And every one of us, particularly we, the ministers, leaders, workers, evangelists, those of us who go out witnessing, this thing I am saying today, there are things I've spoken over time. But just every time we come to try to see if we can make the picture clearer and clearer and clearer. Every one of us, this should be the foundation upon which we go out and confront the Antichrist system. And that's exactly what we are doing in this ministry, is truth confronting error. When Apostle Jude said that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, it is nothing but the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. Error everywhere, and it is done in a way that you will not know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the way Jesus Christ put it in Matthew. Let's open Matthew chapter 24. This is the way he put it. We shall, those of you who like writing, get ready, because I will give you so many scriptures today. And those of you who cannot write, you like to take the tape, then listen very well and make sure you get the tapes later. Amen. Verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And the sign of the end of the world? This is his answer. The first thing Jesus said in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Go to verse 23. Then, at the end time, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And he added, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in a desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. My emphasis now, verse 28. Everybody, shall we read it? Shall we go? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That scripture is a serious scripture. He used it to tell you. He said, if they say, go here, he is there now. He said, don't go there. If they say he is somewhere now, he said, don't go there. Amen. He said, this is how you will know concerning the coming of the Lord. He said, it is as the light, the sun that rises in the east and sets in the west. That is how the coming of the Lord will be. Amen. What you have to do is follow the sun. Follow the sun. Follow the sun. Follow. Amen. And the sun there is the light. Amen. And the light there is the word. Hallelujah. And where the carcass is, the word. The fresh word of God. The manna for your day. Wherever the word is, that is where the eagles will gather. It is not where any man will say he's in anywhere, in any desert, in anywhere. No, no. It is where the truth is. That is where the bride will gather. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are not looking for a man. We are looking for truth. Looking for truth. Praise the Lord. So although anybody arising and saying, I am the one now, I am the one now, you are Antichrist, we will not follow. The bride knows better than that. We know better than that. We know better than that. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. And be very careful. Carefully listen to me. He's saying here, amen. The Bible in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45. He said, rain. Rain that falls from God. He said, it falls on the just and the unjust. Okay? Now watch it. If he say that the reviver, when he will be restoring Israel, is the same way also he will be restoring the spiritual Israel. Can I see the spiritual Jews now? Are we the ones? Fine. Amen. The same way he said that in restoring, he will come as the rain. As the former rain and the latter rain. That is what he will use. Now, and we know that rain here is speaking of an anointing. Now, he is saying that this anointing that he will release, like the rain falls on the just and the unjust, this anointing will also fall on the just and the unjust. Now, the mystery of the anointing. For you to understand how it is possible for somebody to be so filled with the Holy Ghost, full of anointing, miracles, signs and wonders taking place, yet he's not converted. She's not converted. A lot of us get stumbled by that. The bride of Jesus Christ, we have known more than that now. Nothing in Christianity now takes me by surprise, because God has let me know so much until I have gotten to know anybody doing anything in the church of Jesus Christ, anything you are doing is in the Bible. Have I not read what the Pope they are saying? And I show you where they are fulfilling the Bible? Amen. There is nothing going on that is not in the Bible. God has let us understand. Genuine anointing, that is why I say, be careful when you speak against the anointing you see all around. Be careful. Be very careful. Don't quickly say they are occultic simply because you don't understand. Anything you don't understand, before you conclude, go to the Bible. There is answer there. There is answer. Amen. And that's why I have proved several times, and I believe until you prove contrary or time proves otherwise, I say I believe that the anointing on TB Joshua is anointing of the Holy Ghost. The same anointing that is on Oyakhilome. The same anointing that is on Oyedepo. The same anointing that is on Lazarus Mwaka. The same anointing that is in Daddy Joe Redeem Adeboye. The same anointing anywhere. If you watch the television, that is where you will see anointing unlimited. See them there. And anytime I see it, I glorify God. I am not among those that will be grumbling. See what they are doing. See what they are doing. I rejoice and I wish I can have it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So because I refuse to call TB Joshua devil, so some people say he gave me power. Amen. He gave me power. It's not of the devil. Oh, listen now. Catch the anointing. This is what I'm trying to explain to you. And the reason I'm saying this, so that by the end of this little exhortation, you will know which one you will ask for. Is it the type TB Joshua has? Amen. Is it the type that Oyedepo has? Or is it the type that Oyakhilome has? They are all anointing from God. But by the end of this exhortation, you will know which one to choose. Anyone you desire, he will give you. And we will receive it from Wednesday here. Anyone you want. Anyone you want is the one he will give you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now watch the trend in the Bible. He said he will come as the former rain. That is, we are looking at the anointing. The anointing that you will fall as the former rain and as the latter rain. And what is the former rain? The former rain is the rain that sends out farmers to go to their farmlands. Am I correct? And that is when they go to begin to planting time. It's planting time. Amen. But now watch it. The anointing that fell from the day of Pentecost, the first church age, that is the former rain. The rain that fell on the day of Pentecost and that upper room. That revival that began that day is the former rain. Now, but when that anointing was released, amen, then we go to parable of Matthew chapter 13, if you read it from verse 24. It was time to plant. And the owner of the farm went to his farm to plant under the former rain. When the rain was released, the farmer went to plant, the Bible says, good seeds. He planted wheat. He planted good seed. But under the same rain, the enemy went also and planted his own seed. So, on that ground there are two seeds. One from the enemy, the other one from the owner of the farm. And church, that farm is the church of Jesus Christ. Under the former rain, it was under that same anointing because he is depending on that rain for that seed to germinate. I'm talking to somebody here. I hope. I'm talking to the bride of Jesus Christ. You have to catch it. That is where the matter began. That is where the mystery of iniquity began. Amen. My emphasis is that rain. My emphasis is that it is because of that rain that the owner of the farm began to plant his seed. He depended on that anointing. He released that anointing for the purpose of that seed to be planted. But the enemy also took advantage of that same rain and went and planted his own. Not in another place, in the same farm. And with time, conditions will arise. While the good seed are growing, the bad seed too will be growing under the same rain, in the same farm. Hey, Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But as they all grow, remember that after they grew, then the servants of the owner of the farm noticed that was it not good seed, master, you planted? How come now it's no longer wheat? We are seeing tares also among them. Is it not the church that Ananias and Sapphira came and gave a lying testimony? And he died. She died. The man and the woman, they died. It's not the same church. The sinners were afraid to enter. It's not the same church that was so full of love until Believers were coming together and selling their property and to, you know, to help the needy. How come now? Everywhere, all manner of things are there. Selfish people are there. 419 are there. Fornicators are there. Liars are there. Even pulpit there. There are people that are preaching the gospel and they have girlfriends in the church. How come? It's a mystery. When did this happen? When was this planted? When did it come in? Amen. And the owner of the farm is the Lord Jesus himself. He told them, an enemy has done this. And they said, should we go? I am paraphrasing that parable, Matthew 24, and Matthew 13 from verse 24. He said, should we go and uproot them? He said, no, wait. He said, let both grow together until the harvest time. Let both grow together until the harvest time. And I keep asking, why? Then he added, he said, lest if you go to uproot the tares, you may end up uprooting also the wheat. And I have tried to explain this here before. The reason is because tares, they have very strong influences. That it is possible that a genuine seed of God, in association with a tare brother or a tare sister, will not know that it is a tear and begin to pick wrong influences from such brother, from such sister. Under influence, a true seed of God will begin to act like a tear. He said, so if you now use the judgment of uprooting tears, you will end up uprooting wheat also, because you will say, since this is how they behave, you must be a tear. Or you pack and go. But the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Knows it. Let them all grow together. It's a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, at the end time, he will send. He said, wait until the harvest time. Now, the harvest time, there will be another rain, another anointing. The anointing that sends out the farmers to go and harvest. That anointing is called the latter rain. And that latter rain is the rain that is falling now. Hallelujah. That anointing, amen. And that is why in the same Matthew 13, the last parable there, if you don't mind, let's read it in verse 47. Matthew 13. From verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, because it is harvest. And sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And verse 50 makes that parable clearer to me, to know that this is severing the wicked, the severing the wicked from among the just. Severing the wicked from among the just. He's talking about the church. He's not talking about ritual killers outside. Because verse 50 says, there will be weeping and wailing. There will be gnashing of teeth. Why? Because a lot of people who thought they were worshipping God, at the end we discover they were not following Jesus, they were following Satan. When they will be separated, they can never go in a rapture. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's go back to that verse 24 again, Matthew 13. And this is the way, amen, he put it. Remember, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first, the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them up. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, if you go to verse 41, verse 47, the explanation. Verse 40, okay, from verse 40. I'm trying to skip. Let me read it from verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth, is trying to give the meaning of the parable. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. They're all in the church. Oh. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. The reapers are the angels. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. What are the angels? What are they supposed to do? They are supposed to gather. 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 Separation time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ahem. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. I shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So you, my emphasis here is to for you to know that the two seeds grow together until the end time. And it's explained in several other scriptures. It's all as a result of the same anointing, like we see in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read it. I told you we shall read some scriptures. Now, Hebrews chapter 6. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. From verse 7 and 8. He said, for the earth, we drink in the rain. Anytime you see rain, go to the anointing. For the earth we drink in the rain that cometh up upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meat for them by whom it is dried, receiveth blessing from God. But after that blessing, that which beareth thorns and briers is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burnt. The rain that fell, every seed will come up. He did not plant thorns and briers there. You receive the rain, and after the rain, you begin to manifest what is in you. It's telling you what your end will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The things that offend. What are those things that offend? There are many. There are many. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You read it from verse 9. 1 Corinthians. We read that scripture here very regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When he said, we're talking about the things that offend. He said his angels will remove, pull out of his kingdom the things that offend. And these are the things that offend. Knowing not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, the things that offend. No fornicator will go in the rapture. No idolater will go in the rapture. No adulterer. You leave your wife at home, messing up with other women outside, holding Bible. You leave your husband at home, messing up with men outside, holding Bible. If you don't repent after hearing me now, because every sermon is God's opportunity for somebody to repent. I never preach to condemn anybody, because no man has the ability to condemn. It's only Christ that is given power to judge. He's the only one. And that judgment is awaiting everyone there at the white throne judgment. The Father has committed our judgment to him. We are his angels, sent forth to warn the people. Sent forth to tell the people of God's mercy. And somehow, sometimes we say it in a way that you may not like. But what we intend to achieve is what matters. If what I am saying, you are guilty of it, don't be angry, seed of God. I'm not talking about tears, because you are of your Father came. No matter, even God himself came to preach repentance to him. He refused to repent. A defiant spirit. That's why Apostle Paul said they went the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is the way of defiance. No matter what you say, they have something in their rebellious spirit, rebellious heart, to explain it away, to continue in their iniquity. Still holding the Bible and going to church. And there are two things it does. It gives you opportunity to repent, or it gives you reason for you not to cry too much when you see yourself burning in fire. Because what I say will be the reason for somebody to repent, and what I say will be the reason for somebody to also be eternally damned. Adulterer, you will never, you are among the things that offend, you will never inherit. Effeminate. We don't know the meaning of effeminate. Who knows the meaning of effeminate? English language. Amen. See, you know, when you see a man that acts like a woman, there are men that even walk like women. Effeminate. That's why they bore hole in their ear, hang a ring, hang what? They even palm their hair. Anything woman they do out there in the world, they want to do it too. Effeminate. That's how they are. You will not understand. Praise God. You know, you will not understand. Those of us who have traveled out there, even there are pictures everywhere, the internet everywhere, where you see men now have drugs they take to change their physique. They have hormonal drugs they will take and their breasts will come out. Yes. Their voice will change to a voice of a woman with drugs they take. No, that's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some years ago, my wife and I, we were in a shop in America with a friend of ours who lives there. And then some young women entered, and then they were present, they were taking. Then my friend tapped me and said, "You see those people?" I said, "Yes." He said, "They are not women." He said, "They are men." I said, "No, don't tell me that." He said, "Look at them." He said, "They are men." What is this? Effeminate. An effeminate spirit, they are in different categories. See, a woman naturally is designed to take care of her beauty because she knows she's designed to be beautiful. So, you know, when it is When you see them, if you go to their wardrobe, or what do you call it, dressing mirror, you will see different creams. Different, there's the cream for hand. Eh? Yes, there's the cream for lip. There's the cream for under here. Eh? It's, you know, they have it. There's the cream for that place. You know, that the cream for different parts of the body. Okay? Then they have different powders. Then they have, before they go out, they use 3 sets of perfumes. There is the one they put under the ear. In case you want to give them a peck, you will smell that one there. You know, it's there like that. And those worldly ones, there is the different colors that they paint their body. And woe betide you, brother, you have that type of woman as your wife, and you are in a hurry to go out for an occasion. Hey! No matter how you the hurry reach. He said, waiting, I'm dressing up. Like, can't you see I'm dressing up? But when you see, it's normal for them. It's normal. But when you see a man now, he's the one doing it. Ha! That spirit has crept in. A feminine spirit. No effeminate, brother. We go. No way. There's a reason why you cannot go. Because, well, let me just mention that. I have some things to say. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Homosexuals and lesbians. We never go in the rapture. If you are, repent. You are carrying Bible. Leave them in the world to do their own. Lot did not join them in Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though it was the order of the day in those cities. The Bible tells us, Peter brought it out. He said, that just man. Every day he was lamenting at the nonsense that was going on. He hated it. God counted it to him for righteousness. And that's why when the fire was to come on Sodom, God took him out first before destroying those homosexuals. There are some of us till today also that hate that spirit. Why will a man lust after another man? And there are preachers behind the pulpits that are saying it is okay. Pentecostal pastors. Is it Joel Austin? I think that's the name. John Austin. The man, that young motivational speaker, preacher of one of the biggest churches in America. We know him, Austin. He was preaching. And he said, when during the controversy of this gay and things like that, he said that God loves homosexuals. Don't condemn yourself. Oh, have you heard him preaching? You know, oh, when you see him speaking and hundreds of thousands in each service gather to hear him. Oh, when you listen to him, he knows how to motivate you to achieve whatever he wants to achieve. That's why I don't call him a preacher, but a motivational speaker. I know most of the Pentecostal pastors, they are not pastors, so they are motivational speakers. To motivate the people to achieve what they want to achieve. And certainly not preaching the way of the cross. Lie. And he said, you know, God loves you. God loves homosexual. You don't condemn yourself because you are a lesbian or because you are a homosexual. No. He loves you too. He loves the sinners. He loves you. So by inference, what is he saying? He said, continue, John. Don't mind those fanatical people. But I'm telling you by the scripture that they will never enter the kingdom of God. No thieves. And a thief is a thief. Whether you carry biro or you carry gun. Or you use sweet mouth. Thief. Not thief. No revelers. nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners. None of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he added in verse 11 to those children of God to always be aware and say, and such were some of you. Because the Bible says if a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. So many of us were drunkards. Some of us were fornicators. Some of us were adulterers. In fact, some people listening to me now, your own cup of iniquity was so full until there was no space to add anymore. If they say, let all fornicators come out, you will run out first. Before you were converted. Now you can go back. Now, adulterers, come out. You will be the one again to run out. Only you, adultery. Only you, fornicator. Only you, effeminate. Only you, what again? Only you, thief. Only you, covetous, 419. Only you, reveler. Anywhere you dare, you must fight. Your presence is known by your action. Only you. But I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. And it be thine all in all. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He was white as snow. And such were some of you, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's why we were before. That's who we were before. Now, how can you come now to Christ holding this Bible and you still say, I am born again, and you are still founding that? He is warning you. Watch it though. Maybe you came under some of those pastors that say it doesn't matter. It matters so. Revelation 21. It matters. That's why there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 up to verse 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That is after the white throne judgment. The earth is rearranged, recreated. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a test of the fountain of water of life freely. That's why we are here, isn't it? That's why we are coming for this program, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All this, none shall inherit the kingdom. None shall enter eternity. All shall be destroyed. With the latter rain, blessed be the name of the Lord. The latter rain is the anointing that comes, but the interesting thing about the latter rain is that it is the anointing that it releases for separation because it is harvest time. And what does he use to do this separation in this end time? To separate those two groups that were planted in the church. He uses the anointed ones in the end time Remember our topic is understanding the end time anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He does it by an anointing. That is our God for you. You don't catch it, you will miss him. When he's moving, you will miss him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that he said that at the end time, he said, false Christ shall arise. Christ here is not false Jesus. Some people are waiting for somebody to say, I am now Jesus. Like Olumba Olumba. No. That one the Olumba is doing, Satan just used it to distract. So that people will think that that is the one that is fulfilling that scripture. So that he will now continue with a larger majority of the followers of Jesus Christ. We know better. False Christ. Christ means anointing. Christ is not the name of Jesus. So Jesus Christ means Jesus the anointed. That's what it means. False Christ means there will be false anointed ones. That they will come in his name, but they are false. Listen, church. Amen. Listen to my statement. Very important. The anointing is from God, but the vessel is false. He has some lies to speak. Amen. See, if there is nothing in you, let me tell you. All these people will say, somebody offends you, and he says, you see him say, you're looking for my trouble. Oh. You're looking for my trouble. Oh. You're looking. If you don't have trouble, nobody will be able to get trouble from you. Do you understand? Let me tell you. Amen. Satan does not tempt everybody the same way. He chooses what to use to tempt you. Because he knows what is in you. If he knows that you like woman too much, he will not come and use money to tempt you. He will use woman to tempt you. He will use money. If you own a money, it is money he will use to tempt you. There are people that no matter how hungry they are, even if they are going, they jam money on the road for ground. As long as nobody they put out, no matter how that hungry is, they see that money. Even if they pick it, they will pick it with fear and be looking for, Abel, who keep this money? No matter what the hunger is, they will never take another person's thing. Why? Because stealing is not in them. But the one that stealing is in him, like the Nigerian public office holders. He don't tip 1 billion. Wait till they fire again. He's still looking for another billion. To pack. Why? Inside of him is covetousness. That is what is in him. You have to understand that. So. God wanted somebody to fulfill the scripture for the betrayal of Jesus Christ. And he looked among all the people. He saw a man, Judas. That was why he chose Judas. And he knows that Judas, for anything at all, amen. If you just, anything at all he's looking for is money. And until he's ready to sell his savior, his master, his Lord, to get money. And God knew this is the person that will fulfill that ministry. And that's why he picked Judas. And to show it among all the people upon how much he loved John the beloved. He didn't say, you will be in charge of the money. It is that same thief that is in charge of the money. Now, there are many more Judases even in the church. Oh, even in this church. Praise the Lord. Their interest every time is what is happening with the money? What is happening with the church money? If they are in your group, their interest is until there will be no peace in that group until you make them the treasurer. They are the ones that we go around telling you, that brother, when they keep our money, if you see what they do with the money, do you know that it is only social person, now him and the group leader, and then they keep the money? All their interests, now money. Whereas some in that group, the purpose they come to that group is what they are focusing on. Another person came in there, his focus is where the money is. It is in that person. So that you will know who God uses for every ministry. Judas had a ministry. I hope you know that. Or if you don't know, then you don't read the Bible. He had a ministry. The latter rain, blessed be the name of the Lord, with the anointing that separates. The anointing that, and then it comes on men in this age. You have to understand it. Note what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, where he speaks about, let's read it. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 18. I read up to verse 20. Little children, it is the last time, that is the end time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Antichrist. 1 John, therefore, chapter 4. Also, this is the way Apostle John also put it from verse 1. Verse 1, this is the way he put it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test, prove the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 6. You see? He said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So by that statement, when you say, prove every spirit, what are you going to use to try to know whether a spirit is of God or not? You don't use your gifts. You don't use vision. You don't use your dream. Satan can give dream. Satan can give you vision. Satan can speak to you with a voice to confirm to you that his minister that is preaching there is of Christ. What do you use? Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, he said, if any man preach any other gospel other than that which we, the apostles, have preached, let him be accursed. So what do you use? You use the apostolic doctrine, the Bible, to test, to know that person that is casting out spirits, casting out devils, and letting the people believe that God is in their midst. While he's casting out spirit, is he leading them also to God? Is he leading them to be saved? Is he leading them into holiness? Because the Bible says without holiness no one will see God. Is he teaching them the true salvation? Or is just there like a babalawo solving the people's problem and not showing them, pointing them to the God that is solving that problem? So that you will know their origin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Satan has his ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 4 and verse 13 to 15 tells us that Satan himself disguises as a minister of light. He said, no wonder also his ministers, he's disguised as an angel of light. And that he also has ministers that disguise as ministers of the gospel. Therefore, better know that it's not everyone that says has a ministry that is of God. So before you do that, confirm it by trying proving them through the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why it's important. Hallelujah. It's important that we have the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26 and verse 27. He said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You know what a seducing spirit is? A seducing spirit is talking about where you are in a relationship. A man, a woman is married to a man. And somebody comes to take her attention away, her affection away from her husband to another man. That action is seduction. That action is done by a seducing spirit. So when he says that these things are right unto you concerning them that seduce you, that is those who will try to take you away from truth and lead you to error. It is a spirit of seduction. It's a seducing spirit. But the anointing, verse 27, which you have received of him abided in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And that anointing is the latter rain. And that latter rain is the aspect we are looking for as we go into this annual program of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointed ones at the end time, they are called reapers. Note it, verse 30 of Matthew chapter 13, he says, you gather the tares first. Underline it in your Bible. It caught my attention as I read that verse. Who are those to be gathered first? The tares will be gathered first. Before then, the wheat will not come together. Oh, Jesus. Hey, yeah. I guess I got very excited because we were looking at how come the Christian world has not received the entire message, as wonderful as it is. But now, how come it is now that God decided this is the time for the whole world to hear the message? Why? All these years, the reapers have been busy gathering the tares. That's their business. They have been busy gathering the tares, gathering and bundling them up. They have been gathering them in a bundle. Oh, Jesus. It is gathering time. And suddenly, there was something. The need for the Christians to come together. And they all came together that we may be one. And before you know what, let me not waste time on that. Christian Association of Nigeria. Who are they gathering there? In that association, selected there. Kerubim, they're there. Catholic, they're there. Baptist, all of them, the whole Bible, they are there. What is the motive? That we might be one. Then suddenly, one time, the Pentecostals said they can never join that group. Because how can we go and be one with Sele? White garments. Sabbataria, what and what? Then they form their own bundle. That bundle is PFN, Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, because there must be a bundle in separation time. And then their leaders now found wisdom and they went and registered in Christian Association of Nigeria. They became a bigger bundle. Christian Association of Nigeria, not only Nigeria, every country has their own. And all of them come together to join the World Council of Churches, WCC, headquarters in America. Also, I think it's in America. America sponsored it. They started it from there. All of them belong to World Council of Churches. And that became a bigger bond. Then, the Pope of Rome, with his agenda of being the sole spiritual leader worldwide, has decided again, let all religions come together. After all, it's the same God we are worshipping. And they form what they call the Ecumenical Council. And the whole world, all religions, and they hold meetings from time to time in the Vatican. Chairman, the Pope, His Holiness, the Pope of Rome. Listen, church is doing nothing but fulfilling the bundling of the tares. Bind the tares first. That's what God has been doing. It's God Himself that has been doing it all with an anointing. If there is no anointing, nobody will follow you. Amen. Then after that, then come and gather the bride. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does he, what type of anointing does he use to gather them? What is the anointing he uses? It is the anointing for delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You may have heard this before. Allow those who have not heard it to also hear it. So be patient. Chapter 2, verse 7. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, when he's taken out of the way, the Holy Ghost, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That wicked there is the Antichrist. The man himself will be revealed. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God himself shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Because there are people who are following Christ, Christians, carrying this Bible, going to church, but they have no love for truth. You tell them, the Bible said don't do this. They want to argue. It doesn't matter. Where is it written that we should not smoke, we should not drink? Where is it written that the woman should not wear trousers? Where the right trouser there? Did they write trouser there? Where is it written that the woman should not paint herself, should look good? And they're going to church. They're going to church, oh. They're reading the Bible. They're seeing it there, but they will find every means to explain it away because they want to continue with their lifestyle and only add Jesus to it. They have no love for truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. He said, therefore, hey Jesus, God himself will give them over to a strong delusion to make them believe a lie. Ha. The day this understanding, revelation, this scripture was quickened to me, it lets me know. So there are some people that God himself has decided to deceive so that they will hold Bible in on their hand and go to hell. Is it possible? It happened in Israel, Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. If you don't fear God, then you don't fear anything else. Verse 5. Let me read about 4 or 5 verses there. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry. Gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire. Stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. He was telling this to Jeremiah. He was not telling this to Israel. Oh. It's Jeremiah that he was giving a secret to. What is on the way coming to Israel? The lion is come up from his thicket. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate. And thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this, guide you with sackcloth. Lament a hall, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, said the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. The prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Jeremiah, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived these people. And Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace. Whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. They were shaking their head every time. All the prophets, that's why they will wonder. They were shaking their heads. Prophesying, peace to Jerusalem. It is well. You will make it. The Lord loves you. Homosexual, God loves you. Lesbians, God loves you. For one night, go and collect the riches of the wedding belong to the kingdom. Go and get it and bring your tithe. God loves you. God is a good God. Oh, take it back. They were falling and shaking. And they were testifying mighty miracles, signs and wonders. Yet, while that is going, well, they say peace. Peace. What will happen? Sudden destruction. And the prophets that were receiving inspiration and prophesying, they will wonder, what happened? What happened? What happened? Why? Because, hallelujah, they have no love for truth. See, truth, amen. Truth. Every human being knows truth. Let me tell you. We have the days when there was no law. Before there was law, there has always been law anyway. But first, God released that law in our conscience. Those who live by that time, God is going to use their conscience to judge them. Because for every bad thing you are doing, your conscience will speak to you. What I am doing is wrong. Then we had the law. Now we have grace. Nobody has excuse. Nobody. Nobody. You know what you are doing is wrong. You know that you should not live that type of life. You are not married to a brother. You are living with him. He has not married you. It's your boyfriend. I have accommodation problem. Hey, just come and live with me temporarily. You are living there. You know it's not accommodation that sent you there. You know. You went there to protect the territory so that another woman will come. Yes, God understand. I must possess my possession. You know what you are doing is wrong. Everyone, you who kill, you know it's wrong. When you are gossiping somebody, you know it's wrong. When you are lying, you know you are lying. You know. You have no love for truth, but have pleasure. You swim in iniquity, and yet you are holding the Bible. And God is seeing every one of us. He knows every one of us. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. In your secret, it's watching you. William Branham said, our thoughts ring louder in heaven than our voice. God hears what you are thinking. He hears you. hears you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what does he do? He gives you a strong delusion to make you believe a lie. So that in believing that lie, you will end up in hell because you have no love for truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Another example is in 1 Kings chapter 22. The story we all know. Ahab and 400 prophets. And that example is enough to make this point clear. To make you understand the type of anointing that is going on now. The latter rain. Ahab went and killed Naboth, correct? To take his piece of land. Went and killed Naboth. Amen. You know, take your time. Every time I come here, I can't change my mind. Go, change my mind. Now you are the comfort. That's why I say make I start preaching. Because many people now, even I, they can't keep it open because of hunger. Naboth. And as he killed under the advice of his wife, Jezebel, on his way going, the prophet was sent to him by God. You have killed Nabi, you want to go and possess. Amen. And he gave him the prophecy in the same place that you shed the blood of Naboth, that innocent man, to collect his land. In that same place, we dogs lick your own blood and the blood of that your Jezebel woman. Ahab knew that it will come to pass. He didn't fight the prophet. His conscience let him know he did something wrong. Amen. Well, as it is with God, he's always patient. And people take his patience for granted. Years pass, nobody die. Years pass, like Cardinal Sandore. Is that his name? Salvadore. Who thinks that Christ will not come again? That you commit sin, and then God does not judge you immediately, does not mean that God has forgotten. If it's a prophecy that has come out from God, the Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. No word that proceeded out of his mouth, verse 11, Isaiah 55, shall return to him. It shall accomplish that which he has sent it to do. No matter how many years, except it is not God that has spoken. And suddenly, in iniquity, you are not right with God. You are going for deliverance. You are going for battle. Brother, sister, if you know you are living in sin, don't bother to go and do deliverance for somebody who is possessed. Because one of these days, you will know, you will jam those type of demons that were in those seven sons of Sceva. You say in Jesus' name, that Jesus I know. You carry a handkerchief. Oh God of Apostle Paul. Paul, I know. But you, call, who are you? And before you know what? Amen. Amen. Before you know what? Jehoshaphat, the second king of Israel, came to visit Ahab. The Ahab said, maybe he thinks he's wiser than God. If I am my own, I don't say, is it a quarrel with God? I will hide under this one. Come. You know that piece of land in Ramoth Gilead? You know it's our own. Joshua said, I know, according to history, now we get that. He said, we want to go and possess it. But as it is, amen, in Israel, before you go out to battle, you will inquire. And before you know what, now, Jehoshaphat reminded him, what is the word of the Lord for today concerning this battle? And then, he said, no problem. Let us gather the prophet. You don't need too many prophets to confirm the truth. That's why in every dispensation, God does not raise more than one prophet. Hallelujah. Always one at a time. Amen. Well, he gathered 400 of them. And he called them. While he thought in his heart, and he was discussing with Jehoshaphat, Ahab was discussing with Jehoshaphat, suddenly, God remembered his word. Somebody here, even that promise, God will remember it one day. That blessing, God will remember it one day. He never forgets. He's just waiting for the right time. I say he is waiting for the right time. Somebody, today is your right time. Whatever is that problem, today is the right time. Suddenly, God quickly had a meeting with his angels in heaven. He said, See what is going on. Who will go? Who has an idea of what we should do to make Ahab go for that battle and die there? What? How are we going to do it? The Bible says, this one brought this idea. He said, no. This one brought this idea. He said, no. You know, when I read that place, I see how God sometimes can descend to the level of even his creatures. Does it mean that he didn't know what to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He likes to have fellowship with his children. He likes the children to think that they are something. He likes them to come together, and then he wants that father-son relationship. Hallelujah. Don't you sometimes take your small kids? Sir, you hear me? You have a child? Maybe when he was 3 years, 2 years, don't you sit down and discuss? About, you know, you want some idea from him, and then the boy will be doing chuku-chuku as if he thinks he's wider than the father. Then he will be telling you, wait, let me go and do it like this. It happens. Does it mean you don't know what to do? Does it mean he knows better than you? No. It is your own way of creating a relationship. That's what God does. Now listen, church. This one brought this idea. You know, work. Bring this idea. The Bible says suddenly a lion spirit came there. Who is this lion spirit? It's the same old Satan that in Job chapter 1 that God asked, now where are you coming from? Amen. When God asked Satan, where you are coming from, where have you been? Does it mean that God didn't know where he has been? That is God for you. Oh, after they committed sin in the Garden of Eden, I preach a message that I titled, Adam, where art thou? God asked Adam, Adam, where art thou? Does it mean that he didn't know that he was hiding somewhere? He didn't know where he was? Anyway, the same Satan that answered God, I'm coming from to and fro, because he has no fixed address. He's always wondering, and anywhere children of God gather, Satan must go there. Even in brother assembly, he will come here. Keep your hands set very well, though. He's here. If they come here, anytime you visit brother assembly, some handsets go miss. No fear. That person didn't come to worship. What did these people do there? They see the glory of God. What did they do there? A lying spirit came there and said, what did they talk? He said, I can do it. I have an idea. And God said, what will you do? He said, I will go to those his 400 prophets and anoint them, so that all of them will be prophesying to the man, so that the man will believe and they'll go to that battle and die. God said, that is a fine idea. And he said, oh yeah, lele, go. So that anointing came from God. It's God that sent him there. It came from God.
And he came. They gathered 400 prophets. All of them were shaking their heads. Shaking their head. And they said, thus said the Lord, fast, 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 go. God has given you that piece of land in Ramoth Gilead. And they were shaking their head. Maybe they were even following that anointing. 400. But let me tell you, there is an inner witness anytime there is a wrong spirit around you. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost. Everyone that has the Holy Ghost. There are some of these prophets that we are operating here that have left here. How did we catch them? Right here. They'll be in front of me prophesying. And not vision, not anything. But I will have that sign that something is wrong with this prophecy, Jerry. And I will call you. I will say, go and ask that person, they just get prophecy. Ask this question, and this question. And that's why the reason why we have driven some of them out of this church. When something funny is going on, you will know. You will know. That's why I say, everyone that will be a pastor, all of you pastor, it is dangerous. You don't have the gift of discernment, and you are allowing gifts to operate in your church. If not, you will not know when it is God speaking and when it is just Satan that has smuggled his way. Very soon, that spirit will manifest and scatter everywhere. Every time, hey, there is one. Hey. Okay, let me not go that side. Make I talk better to you. It's true. Praise the Lord. I have seen it. You know, I'm pastoring a church of gifts. So, and no gift has created any problem in this church since we started. Before the problem comes, we'll go catch up. And settle. And I am no respecter of persons. I'm telling you. I deal with you the way you present yourself. The day you let me know you are a tear, I will deal with you the way I'm supposed to deal with a tear. Without looking back. As mumu as I look so, I am very firm with what I believe. Telling you, I didn't come to church to look for friends. And I'm not looking for followership. And that's why, one area that spirit comes from, pastors, you must know, when they want to be recognized by the pastor, they use the prophetic gift. Thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, my servant Moses, hey, you are the only one I have raised in this generation. My servant Moses, I have given you the word. My servant Moses. And they look up. Next time again. Thus said the Lord, my servant Moses. And they look up. Now there it starts. I have called you. Do I need your prophecy to know I am called? That's the discernment I'm talking about. Amen. Every time, my servant Moses, now let me be servant. Equal, you know, be servant. Thomas, you know, be servant. Okudili, you know, be servant. Olafunaya, you know, be servant. Why every time that prophecy, now only me they call? No, it's your mind. No, we got it. Then a mumu pastor will be doing like this. You see? It's no prophecy that will confirm my calling. It's your conversion that will confirm my calling. If I am called, then when I preach, people will be converted. If you are not converted, God has not called me. Praise the Lord. And I'm still trying to confirm my call. So don't go ahead. I've not confirmed it yet. Because upon how I'm preaching here, 10 years of people are with me. They don't know anything about Malachi 4 message. They cannot defend what we are preaching here. And they are casting out spirits. And they are seeing visions. So am I called? I'm called to do what? I'm called to gather all manner of things. Lie. Like, you don't know how sweet, how fulfilled I see. Receive the Holy Ghost. And I see somebody receive the Holy Ghost. And I see the person's life changing. When anytime I see those other tests, I say, I can't win all. At least I have one, brother this, three. If I go with 10, at least I'm not called empty-handed. I'll meet the Lord, say, I try and I see 5 before me now. I try. You know, it's not easy. You call, not the only 12 you get. I go tell Jesus now. Well, there not many. There was one time Jesus, they were 70. And after some time, they don't reduce. Even among the 12, you by yourself, you call. One are devil. So, waiting. Me, I try now. See them. They reach 6. That's what gives me joy, church. If you want to deal with me very well, then let me hear those horrible things happening in the world among us here. It breaks my heart to hear that a man is still beating his wife. We church, Bride Assembly. You know you are a tear planted here. You know I'm not your pastor. Who is your pastor, Pastor Moses? You know, you lie, you are lying. You know I'm not your pastor. You know now. You still hear, and you hear people just engage. Brother say, hey, you marry me. Then, before you know what, don't move, they stay with them. What happened? You don't do introduction. Now, for introduction, then they marry your mama. That's it now. Your papa do introduction for your mama. That's all. Then you go marry her. You go stay with her. They became his wife. For all that we are preaching here. But I know, blessed be the name of the Lord. God's seed I see here. How many of them? No, put down your hand first. I didn't say if you want to be. I mean if you already are. If Jesus come now, you will go with him. Stand up, let me see you. Sit down first. Some people don't understand English. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a prophecy for me, don't give me. But be sure it's not a carnal prophecy. Because once you enter spirit, some of us have the ability to also enter and follow you. So that we know where you are speaking from. Some people are looking for recognition. You want the pastor to know you as a gifted brother, a gifted sister. How did people take no me? How did they take prophesy for here? Hey! Scatter everywhere. Then when we say gifted brothers and sisters, we have a meeting. They are number one to arrive. What is your gift? I'm always falling under anointing. Is there any gift as falling under anointing? Praise the Lord. Amen. All this nonsense will be wiped out of this church after this program in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know where would they read that time self again. Yes, Ahab. Now will they talk about? Before you know what? He came on those 400 prophets and were prophesying. They were prophesying, as usual, prophesying. Go and possess. But Jehoshaphat, with some discernment, said, come, apart from these 400, do we have any other one? And quickly, he said, there is one. All the people that speak truth, nobody, they like them. He said, there is one, Micaiah, the son of who? He said, that one. No, they tell me anything good. How are they tell me anything good? Amen. You want to imagine that Jonathan, will I ever call Tunde Bakare for any advice? Because Tunde Bakare is always hitting. But there are some that are every time they are in the state house. I'm blessing him. Well, Micaiah, Jehoshaphat said, call him and bring him. Let's also hear from him. They sent a message to him. And they said, come, Everybody has gathered in the king's palace. 400 of them. This is what as well. You don't go and talk your own different too. You don't go and talk your own different. Let me tell you people this. I use this opportunity to say this. Be very, very careful who you associate with in the ministry. Especially because after this program, gifts will manifest. Gifts will manifest. And before you know what, some older brothers and sisters that are operating that gift, when they see your own coming, before you know what, they will send for you. Every time you are giving message, every time you give message, it's not every time we give message. We have been in this church before this church started. So you better, we know how to operate here. We are telling you now. It's not every vision you see, you talk. And before you know what, amen. They will recruit you. They will volunteer to bring you up. From what I see, walk with me, I'll bring you up. The truth is, it's an agenda to kill the gift. Hallelujah. That is the reason why we don't have too many gifted people again in the church that we know. When some are trying to come up, there are some that will kill them. We are aware of it. This is a church. Before you know what, the iniquity, listen, though, that they have been found in the old ones that made God to abandon them and want to come and use you, they will recruit you to join them in the iniquity. Before you know what, they'll be carrying you. After all, you don't get work. Every week, I can assure you, you'll be making some money. Just follow me. Make a study, you see how it'll do. Now, we are going to Aba next week. We follow. When you go, come back, finish. You see, they gave us 50,000 naira. I am giving you 30. I told you I want to bring you up. Ha! That's what this is, sweet. Before you know what, you are totally dead. I'll show you a mystery. He who has ear to hear. Hear. Amen. When this ministry started, the older ones, enter message pastors that were my friends, they expected me to follow them, that they would teach me. That's their only problem with me. Inside my heart, I already they look. With what you know, what have you achieved in spreading the gospel? Where you want to make I follow you? The pattern you have, what has it produced that you want me to follow you? So I told them, my ordination, no greater man of God came and ordained me. Now the ministers for the church, now they ordained me. I kneel down. They anointed me. Let me too stand up. Come ordain them. Hallelujah. Then I informed those big enter message pastors. I said, ah, now maybe pastor of Brand Assembly now. They say, hey, when is ordination? I said, ah, we have done it. They say, ah, who came and did it? I said, no, we did it among ourselves. Have I broken any scripture? That was the first sign I gave them. The second one I gave them was that all the women in the church should cover their hair. All enter-message churches I know in Nigeria, the women don't cover hair. How can you say women? I say, yes, if your members are coming to my church, tell them to cover. If not, we will not allow them to enter. Ha! I did it to declare my independence. The one that was my teacher for so many years, Enoch Onyebuaha. Sorry, I didn't call him. The thing just come up from my mouth. Listen, yes, he was my teacher. I have high regards for him. High regards for him. I love him so much. But I don't love you until you lead me to to your failure, and I will fail like you. And then, before you know what is happening, it so disturbed him until he came to preach one time here in the church, in the camp. You know, all these people sitting down here covering their hair, you think it's everyone that believe it? Oh, ho, ho, ho. There was one mistake I made one day. I answered a question at the pulpit where I said, if your hair, somebody was asking, if your hair is hard and you cannot manage it, and you decided to just relax it for the purpose of management, nothing is wrong. The whole sister said, yes, nothing is wrong. It happened on a Bible study on a Tuesday or so, Wednesday. On Sunday, all our sisters, young ones, they palmed their hair. Jericho, different styles. I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. For 3 days, I was asking God to forgive me. Before I came and wired all of them. Drive some of them out of the church. Then, that spirit left them. Enoch came and preached. We went to the camp. And then, he was saying that, no, the hair is the covering, not the scarf. All this is a Catholic doctrine. Blah, 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 blah. I was not in the hall when he was preaching. So when I came, some minister told me, this is what he preached. Before I know it, by the evening session, some sisters came and said, serious argument in the sisters' hostel. Some say, yes, it's correct. Some say, no, it's not correct. Some say, and that's how it's supposed to be. I'm going to cover hair like that. And that's how I said, hey! While the man was still sitting down there collecting microphone, I punched that nonsense out. And I told them openly, when you go to Pastor Enoch's church, you remove your own. But if you are here, you must cover it or will not allow you to enter here. This is what I believe. And I went to him during lunch or so. I went to him. We were eating in the restaurant there. And I told him, I said, Enoch, so I invited you from Port Harcourt. All you have to come and teach my church is how to cover hair. And I told him, I said, you know you are wasting your time. As long as I am the pastor of this church, what I don't see, the church will never see it. So if you think I am wrong, work on me. And don't go and work on my members. You won't succeed. That is the spirit in enter message churches for you. You open the pulpit for you, they go and drop confusion in your church. But they can never do it here because I know where I stand. Before you go, I correct them for your face. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sitting down here now. If we talk now, here, say, look, look, you are free now. You are free. If you like. In fact, don't cover your hair. Look, before service finished, they will remove it here with mirror. They dress their hair for here. Because not many of them are doing it out of a revelation. Anyway, they told Micaiah, don't go and talk your own different. Micaiah told them, I cannot say anything except what the Lord put in my mouth to say. Well, we know what happened. Let me just reduce the length of that story. Because at the end of it all, Micaiah stood there contrary to 400 prophets. He gave a different one. So, majority are not always right. And he said, I see Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, they should go back to their tents, O Israel. If you go there, you will not come back. You know, one prophet there, the leader of the school of prophets, went to him. Who are you in this land? Slapped him. Where did the spirit leave me to come to you to give that prophecy when I have spoken? And Ahab had confidence. He said, bind him and keep him inside the prison till we come back from that battle. And then Micaiah said, that is if you come back. Amen. And before you know what, praise the Lord. Well, we all know that story is a very interesting story, but because of time, every aspect of that story is very interesting. Because the truth is that Ahab believed what Micaiah said. All these things they are speaking, all these preachers, all these Jews, they know what we are saying is the truth. They know. Because Ahab later on said, Jehoshaphat, you be in front. You you will dress like a king. You dress like a king, and then who will follow you? I'll be behind. He dressed his chariot very well, so that anywhere you go, you will think it is Ahab. Because they will always look for the king. Once you get the king, the battle is over. And so they went. Suddenly, the enemy saw Jehoshaphat, and they abandoned everywhere and started following Jehoshaphat. It is then Jehoshaphat knows that be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. If you read that story, Jehoshaphat cried. I can see him say, oh, now so I will just die. Hey, if it's I stay. Oh, they're following me. But the truth is this. Amen. Hallelujah. They followed. Suddenly they came and said, no, not be him. Not be him, be this. So they know who they're looking for. And then, where is Ahab? They didn't know. When they were tired, one of the soldiers just said, prophetic action. I declare this arrow, the arrow of Ahab. Wherever Ahab is, as I throw, this arrow shall locate you. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are. But because your end has come. Hey, the Bible says he threw it by venture. And that is all the Holy Ghost was waiting for. And the Spirit of God began to direct it. Began to look. Wherever your enemy is hiding, the God will expose. Hallelujah. He began to follow, trace it to where Ahab was, and pierce him there. What is the end of that story? God using a delusion to make Ahab believe a lie, so that in believing that lie, he will act on the lie and go and die. That is the spirit of delusion. That he, God, using this latter rain, has released also now in the church to make certain people believe on those lies that those preachers are telling them. In believing those lies, they will act on those lies and go to fire, hell. Be destroyed. Why? Because they have no love for truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You see? Worldliness has crept into the church. Somebody asked me yesterday. I was wasting my time with questions. Maybe you are hearing me now from wherever you called me. Okay, so how are we to dress our hair now? I said we should not palm. I said we should not put a meter. But me, I the palm. Okay, so now, how are we? How am I? I said, it depends on the motive. I said, your motive guides what you do to your hair. He said, but I want to look good now. So I managed to control my anger. I said, sister. He said, do you have the Holy Ghost? She said, yes. And I said, you don't have problem. Continue. Anything the Holy Ghost leads you to do, do. You want to palm, palm. You want to Jericho. You want to color your hair. Go ahead. Say you have the Holy Ghost. Say, go ahead. They have no love for truth. Did God make you with hole in your ear, sister? Why is hearing an issue? Did God make your physique the same as a man? Why would you like to dress like a man? Why would you want to love to paint yourself, paint your leg, paint your nail, paint this, paint this, paint this? Can't you see that you are doing nothing but just a worldly spirit is upon you? Who do you want to look like? Tell me the Bible character that you are picking after. It's Jezebel. It's Jezebel. What is good about that woman for a Christian woman to emulate? Are you looking at the Bible or you are looking at your Jew's wife? Is she converted? Is she your standard? Is your pastor your standard? Brother, spamming your hair because your pastor, Oyakhilome, he's spamming his hair. Oh, I call name again. Why will you do that? Is he your standard? Is your pastor your standard? It's not your standard. You know what he's doing is wrong. You know. You know it is wrong. And yet you follow it. That is the delusion. God himself allows it to happen. With that anointing, he gathers the tares, the things that offend out of the kingdom, and bundle them. He uses reapers. Those reapers are those pastors. That's why I say that every one of them, I mentioned their name today, they are all servants of God to do a great job of gathering the things that offend out of the kingdom to separate the wheat from the tares. The spirit of delusion is the spirit on to gather the tares. But there is also the latter rain, also an anointing that gathers the wheat. Amen. It is called the bride's anointing. We will look at it on Wednesday before we pray. Hallelujah. If you are not angry with me, clap for Jesus. If you are not angry with me, stand up and clap for Jesus. If you are not among the foolish virgins, clap for Jesus. If you are sure you are among the bride of Jesus Christ, clap for Jesus. Make in anger and clap for Jesus. Hymn 205. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, with the bride's anointing. 206, sorry. We never finish, we will talk about our world.